and you're following sharp bettors. And that's why it's effective, right? That's why when there's a market outlier, they're usually wrong because of all the information that all the other books have from sharp bettors, from their own internal teams. Hey, what's up, GP13? New episode of the Risk Takers podcast. Hopefully this is airing after a great interview with Ed Miller. But so I wanted to talk about something that it's not bothering me, but something that I think is important to discuss in the plus EV, quote unquote, betting space. Again, I'm not in love with the term plus EV to describe what is essentially devigging lines, taking off market lines, using odd screens. But it's hard for me to fight it. There's nothing, that's just how it's referred to in the space, and it saves me a lot of time by just calling it plus EV betting. Okay, so with that in mind, my problem with the plus EV betting movement is that I don't think people understand why they have an edge. I was talking to somebody who was asking for some advice sports betting, and I was like, okay, like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I do plus EV betting. I was like, okay. And the person asked me, like, you know, you don't do a ton of bets. This is on my picket, right? They saw my picket. You don't do a ton of bets. You must not do plus EV betting. I was like, damn, fuck. This guy's calling me negative EV. Felt like I knew he wasn't. I knew what he meant. And by the way, on the picket, I don't really use a ton of my accounts that are attached to my picket. It doesn't do me any good. And most of them are limited. So that's one reason why it'll seem like there's not a lot of volume. We still do a lot of volume. Volume's important. But the other reason is, like, I just didn't think that he understood what the point, like, what the goal of betting was. So I was like, so plus EV betting, you mean, you know, you're using daily grind, odds jam, you know, finding off market lines, using an odds screen. And he was like, yeah, I use odds. And I was just like, I think that there's a problem out there because everybody uses odds. Every winning bettor does plus EV betting in their own way. All betting is you create a prediction and you convert it to odds. You compare it to the odds of the book. If it's favorable, you know, hits your threshold or whatever it is, you size a wager accordingly and then you repeat. That's the same if you're modeling. That's the same if you're using daily grind and odds jam. That's the same if you're using spank odds, Don Best, unabated, chasing steam, tailing, anything, you know. It's all plus EV betting when it's done well, when it wins, right? So I think that something that Matt from Daily Grind and Alex from Odds Jam do really well is every time they post a slip, they basically have this template where they show exactly how plus EV betting works and the logic behind it. But I just don't think people actually read that. That's fair. You know, there is a time pressure to get the slip in that they post because they'll most likely move. But I would take some time and, like, go back and read through their slip, because when you understand why this quote unquote plus EV betting or using odds, how it gives you an advantage, it'll also help you with other parts of sports betting. It'll help you find other advantages. So to answer people's questions who aren't sure of what plus EV betting is and why it works, I will do my best to explain how it gives you an edge, and then it'll help you think about it more holistically, and it'll help you be able to apply it to other areas in betting where you might possibly be able to get an edge. Again, it's always better to know why we have edges. We have to know why we have an edge. It's not like Matt Downs sends a tweet, and then that's my edge is, you know, plus EV. It is, it's edge. Like, he's winning, obviously. But you have to understand, like, why he's winning, because then you can know how to win without Matt, without being the first person to see his tweet, right? So anyway, let's get into it now.
Okay, plus EV betting. Plus EV betting right now refers to people who use odds screens, be it Daily Grind Fantasy, Odds Jam, or the more traditional ones like Don Best, Svank Odds, Unbated. And they use the odds screens to find situations where one of the sports books has a price that's far off the rest of the market, and then they go bet that price, right? And what's happening here, right? What's happening here? Well, first, let's give an example of a situation where, you know, this could happen. I'm going to give a golf example. It's just going to be easier for my brain to not mess this up while I talk through this. So you have on one book, we'll say DraftKings, you have Rory McIlroy versus John Rahm. On this book, they're both, this is just a head-to-head matchup, tie, no bet. This book, they're each minus 110 against each other. So if you bet John Rahm, you bet 11 to get 10. If you bet on Rory, you bet $11 to get 10. But you go over to FanDuel, and now something pretty interesting is happening. You see on FanDuel, Rory is minus 130, and John Rahm is plus 110. So as it stands right now, you could bet John Rahm on DraftKings at minus 110, FanDuel at plus 110, and you would break even, right? You could break even. That would be a market that has zero hold, zero juice. But it doesn't necessarily do you any good, right? You don't know, like, why make $0? You might get like a little bit of rewards credit, but I mean, it's basically nothing. So in that situation, if you have a market that doesn't have juice, it's something that you should be comfortable betting. Like, you should be able to be good enough to beat a market that has zero juice. Now, occasionally you'll have a market that has negative juice, or what Matthew Davidow and Ed Miller, shout out Ed Miller, future guest of the podcast, or maybe when you're hearing this one, previous guest of the podcast, but it's what they refer to as negative synthetic hold. And that would be a market where John Rahm, let's say John Rahm was plus 120 on FanDuel. That just means that you have plus 120, minus 110. You can take both sides and make money. When you can take both sides and make money, that market has negative juice or negative synthetic hold. We as the bettor are now the house. We're charging the house juice, right? Okay. So what does this all mean? Well, let's go back to the situation where we have John Rahm minus 110 on DraftKings, plus 110 on FanDuel. Now, basically in this situation, you want to take a side. So what are you going to do? If you just have the information where DraftKings and FanDuel are disagreeing with each other, the only way for you to pick, there would be two ways. One, you have your own model. And maybe your own model likes John Rahm more. So then you would take the plus 110 on John Rahm. It would be like the tiebreaker between DraftKings and FanDuel. What the odds screens do, what EV betting does, is now they go check the rest of the market. Now let's say rest of the market's at minus 130 plus 110, minus 130 Rory plus 110 Rahm. All of a sudden, now it looks like DraftKings with the minus 110 Rory number is wrong. The more books agree with FanDuel, the more likely it is that's the right side. Because what are those books basing those numbers on? Two things. One, they're basing those numbers on their internal models. So when you're doing EV betting, part of it is you're basically tailing the modeling and trading teams of the sports books whose information you're using. And two, if they're somewhat sophisticated, they're using information from their customers that are coming in and then adjusting the lines. So if they have a customer who they think knows golf a lot and they bet Rory at minus 120 versus Rahm, they might move the line now to minus 130 for Rory against Rahm, right? So that's the two ways that
those books are moving their numbers around. And basically the two groups of people that you're following when you're betting, EV betting, as we're calling it, you're following the sports books and you're following sharp bettors. And that's why it's effective, right? That's why when there's a market outlier, they're usually wrong because of all the information that all the other books have from sharp bettors, from their own internal teams. It's more likely that that outlier is going to be wrong just because of how much extra information all the other books have combined, right? And this is the problem with saying, oh, I do plus EV betting. I use odds, because you're not understanding what you're actually doing. Because you can't, you're not describing, you're just saying that, but are you saying why you're winning, right? And that's why there is a skill to even using an odd screen. Like I think I've mentioned before, but if you just use the like three numbers from the top of the Daily Grind or the Odds Gym odd screens, like the three best odds, like it's not really actionable information on its own. And since it's there, it's very public information. And if they're not moving, I would already be suspect of that. But let me give you an example. Like we did for Rory and John Rahm, we're just going to use them one more time to highlight why something on an odd screen might be misleading. Okay, so we're going to go back to the same situation. DraftKings is at minus 110, minus 110. Minus 110 for Rory, minus 110 for John Rahm. FanDuel, minus 130, plus 110. Minus 130 for Rory, plus 110 for John Rahm. Now, let's say there's one more book offering this matchup, right? And you'll find this with player props and whatnot. They're not incredibly liquid markets. It's not like NFL where every book's going to have an opinion on it. Maybe there's one more book offering, and maybe that book copies DraftKings. So there's another book that shows minus 110, minus 110. So now all of a sudden, you know, the odds screen's going to weigh, okay, two books, average odds, that plus 110 on Rahm is probably the right bet. But wait. What if on FanDuel, it was plus 100 on Rahm and minus 120 on Rory, and someone bet minus 120 and the book moved to minus 130. Now your bet's really, really, really bad if you took Rahm plus 110, because FanDuel and someone else who's probably knows more than you has moved minus 120 to minus 130, right? So you have to check in how that got there, first of all. And it could just be that DraftKings, you know, sits there and doesn't move their number. Yeah, it's important to know which books move and which books don't. Because if a book doesn't move, that is the basically that's going to be your target, but they're not going to be a signal for you. So again, like when you say you do odds and you use EV, it's not as simple as number flashes bet number, right? To make the most money, you have to, you know, break it down and understand why it works. And there's so many intricacies in there. Like, for example, if this doesn't apply in DFS, but it applies in sports betting, it's really important to know when certain books raise their betting limits. And again, a lot of people listening to this won't matter. But this is just like to highlight that there's levels to this too, that it's not, you know, always be learning. Even if it seems simple and you have a tool that you think just makes you money, resist the urge to just sit back and be passive about it. Try and make more money. Try and learn more. Try and, you know, get a little bit extra of an edge. Try and understand it. Because why not? If you can understand it and you build your own correlation tool, it's going to be worth so much more money to you than paying $200 for, you know, DGFs, which is a good investment. And I'm not saying it's not. But if you make your own and you can get numbers before them, now it's worth like, you know, sky's the limit, really. So if you do understand this stuff, that's when you can make big, big money. I don't think like you shouldn't expect to make a ton of money just by sitting there and clicking, right? And not understanding. And that's kind of like what I wanted to get across for people who are maybe confused by plus EV betting or see it as some type of, you know, get rich quick scheme. It's not really like,
yeah, this has been a good period for it, right? But if you really want to push forward and make a lot of money, there's a lot more you have to learn. Unfortunately, right? It's not easy. It's like the great unfortunate truth of life is if it's worth doing, it's probably kind of hard. Same thing for sports betting, right? So anyway, this was more of a quick episode, but I really think it is important to talk about, like, even if you're in the you know, quote unquote plus EV betting space, what can you be doing to push that understanding forward? Make sure you know why you're winning. You know, this is something I always keep hammering. Like, you should know what your edge is, and you should be able to explain it to a fifth grader. That's the best type of edge. Like, the best type of edge is super, super simple. Super simple. Like, the most money we've made have been on really basic things, not like crazy modeling problems, right? So always think about your why. Again, it also helps if you're losing. If you can explain your edge, it'll help you have conviction to stick with it longer. And yeah, so that's the episode. And I do want to say I'm going to start adding episodes. I don't know exactly how I'm going to do it, but I more want to add episodes with guests instead of replace these with guests, because there are some times where I just want to give you guys like a 15 to 20 minute concept overview that can be helpful. I don't like to have these run very long, but if I'm interviewing a guest and, you know, they're saying some interesting stuff and there's interesting conversation, I definitely don't want to force them to 15 minutes. So, you know, with bringing Ed on and then, you know, trying to get some more guests lined up, I think the best structure is going to be maybe an additional day, a Thursday or Wednesday or Thursday, where I'll probably air a longer form with a guest, or maybe break it up into two episodes, do like Monday, Friday, or I don't know. But anyway, just be on the lookout for that. Hopefully Ed's interview has already come out. If it hasn't, just be on the lookout for that as well. And thank you everybody for your support. I love reading on Twitter when people say like this is helping them win, or when people DM me. This is really what that's about. I know sports betting can seem scary, it can seem difficult, but I think the purpose of this is just to make winning at sports betting accessible, because it's actually not too hard, and it's such an excellent opportunity for people who, you know, put the focus in to, you know, set themselves up financially with a good side hustle, or, you know, you could even do it full time as well. So anyway, thanks everybody. Please share this with somebody, and I will see you on the next episode.